Blind Cool Tech, number 14, June 17th, 2005. I'm Larry Skukon. In the office today with me, I've got Rob Meredith. And Rob has got some pretty exciting news to talk to you about. Go for it, Rob.
Well, today we thought we'd briefly discuss this latest beta version of Studio Recorder that we're going to be putting out as a public beta. We've made a couple of minor changes that added a couple of minor features to the product. And first of all, if you're an avid Studio Recorder user, you might have realized that the tools menu was kind of empty and needed more commands. So we shuffled some of our commands around from the navigation menu, and now the calibrate phrase parameters and default phrase parameters commands are on the tools menu rather than the navigation menu. And we also moved the mark filter command from the navigation menu to the options menu, since it's more of an option than a navigation command. We also decided to change the name of the navigation menu to just navigate, to make it a little bit more clear. We also optimized the WaveView code a little bit, so in some situations where you may have experienced a little bit of sluggishness with the WaveView, that situation should be improved. It happens more on some systems than others, and we're still trying to figure out if we have it tuned best now. That's one of the reasons for the beta. And finally, we have two new commands. The first new command is a command to let you set your default MP3 encoder preferences, and that's on the options menu. It's called default MP3 encoder parameters, and what it does is it pops up the dialog that used to appear when you would export an MP3 file and lets you select your encoder parameters. Now when you export an MP3 file, you still get the dialog, but you can change those to be specific to the job you happen to be working on at the time. And the next time you pop up the export to MP3 dialog, the parameters bounce back to the defaults rather than the last way you saved them. And the last new command is on the tools menu, and it's called sum all windows. And it walks through each open document window and gathers up the total time and reports the total time of all windows as in a message box. So if you're working on a complex project that has maybe 15 or 25 files associated with it, and you want to know the total time of your project, maybe you need to burn to CD, or you need another, you need to do a radio show or whatever, you can get a quick glance at how long your total project is.
Okay, thank you. And how do people get this beta?
Well, there's two ways. If you're already a Studio Recorder beta tester, you can use the check for update on the help menu, the check for update command on the help menu. If you'd like to become a beta tester for Studio Recorder, you can go over to aph.org/beta and accept the agreement there and download the Studio Recorder beta. I believe it's marked as a beta, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, it just says Studio Recorder, but everything on that page is beta.
Yeah. Great.
Well, thank you, Rob. And by the way, if you do go and accept those agreements, basically saying that you realize that this is not production code, even though it is very, very stable, and you download the beta from that page, from then on, you can check for updates, and you'll get each new beta. And just to give you some information about how these betas work, the beta will remain effective for 3 months from the date that you have, well, from the date we put it up there, actually. So if there are no new betas within 3 months, your key will expire unless you are actually a Studio Recorder registered user. So if you're just running a demo of Studio Recorder, this beta will actually give you functionality like it's a full version, but only for 3 months. Anything else you want to say about that, Rob?
Yeah, it's kind of neat because what happens is it gives unregistered potential users an opportunity to try all features of the program in a beta format for the 3 months, and then it would roll back to a demo. It also gives registered users a chance to try the latest and greatest features. And in the case of the registered users, the beta remains a beta until they choose to upgrade to the release. So the 3 months doesn't apply to registered users.
Right.
And we expect to have a full release relatively soon in either case.
Any new features going to be past this beta before the full release, do you expect?
Well, we're looking for another multimedia controller to support since of the discontinue of the PlexTalk RE11. And we should have, in a few weeks, support for one of the JL Cooper multimedia controllers.
And just for people's edification, what in the world do you do with a multimedia controller?
Well, one of these controllers is basically a remote control for studio recorder, so you don't have to use a keyboard. We kind of had it made on both sides of the coin with the RE11 because it not only has keys, but it also had a display. Unfortunately, we haven't found a reasonable substitute remote that has a display, but at least we'll be able to offer basic transport functionality, like the ability to record, navigate, and set marks.
I think, isn't there a record indicator? Isn't there a little light we can turn on when they're recording?
Yeah, we're looking at these new controllers, and they have record lights on them, which has been a request in the past.
So these controllers, like you heard the studio tour the other day, the narrator is actually in a booth by themselves with this controller, so they don't have the keyboard in front of them, and a good many volunteer and professional recording situations prefer to have this kind of setup rather than a full computer keyboard in front of the narrator. Anything else we need to say about this beta and these features? So we do expect to have controller support before the official release of this next version, and that'll be coming in the next beta. Also, while we're talking about betas and new releases, the other day we gave you a demo of another product that Rob's working on, Money Talks, and we got some important information a few days ago about pricing and availability. Really good news, I think. It looks like the official price of Money Talks will be $49 if you order the CD. And that CD does come with the AT&T Natural Voices text-to-speech engine. And the price will be $39 if you download it from our website and do the electronic distribution registration. That does not come with AT&T Natural Voices. So if you do want the higher quality text-to-speech engine, you may want to order the CD. These are not available as we speak. It looks like it'll be about the first week in July before these are available. We're very excited about this product. We've talked to a lot of people that say it has really changed their life, and I know that's been the case for me. Rob, you were mentioning earlier, you know, giving some background on how this came about and what you and I both were using for our banking needs for years and years. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Oh, yeah. Well, back probably 15 years ago, Larry wrote a program called Adder. And Adder was around in various forms. It started out as a basic program on the Apple II. And I'm not sure that I really used that version too much. I think I may have checked it out. But around 10 years ago, I was needing a program to do a similar thing too. And so I wrote one for an old DOS editor called TSE that was a macro inside that editor, so you could just load a text file and essentially add up all the values in it. And it was great for us, but we realized that other people, A, weren't benefiting from this, and B, would need a perhaps more of a program-like approach to it rather than just a macro or a basic separate program to add up a file with a bunch of values. So there's also the issue of not being able to use DOS programs as well under XP. So a while back, I wrote a dialog version of Adder. It was a Windows application. And it got the job done, but it still wasn't quite what we thought people would use. And then we started Money Talks, actually, at that point. And Money Talks was essentially what I called Adder on steroids, which was kind of a multi-document interface. It still added up values in a file, but it had a lot more advanced features like date searching and tried to do a better job of making sure the line had valid information on it, and it had sort of specifications for where one would put a memo and where categories would go. And finally, we evolved to the version of Money Talks that everybody knows now, which is the grid-based version, which is still a multi-document interface, so you can have multiple accounts open at once, but it's a little bit more conducive to both sighted and visually impaired use, where you can click on a particular grid square if you're sighted, if you prefer to do it that way, or you can use the arrow keys to navigate around and just press enter on the field you want to edit.
Okay. So we're very excited about the release of this, and there is a beta of Money Talks already on the APH beta site if you are so inclined to check it out, and you won't have too long to wait for the official release of it. Okay, before we wrap up show 14, got a couple of comments on our new comments line and really appreciate hearing the feedback. That number, if you do want to suggest a show or provide a comment, is 206-984-9203. Here's the first one.
Hey, this is Scott Spaulding, also in Louisville, Kentucky. I just found out about your podcast in the last day or two. Been listening. Sounds great. Just wanted to also say that I have a podcast at the title Scott's Podcast. Not much yet, but hopefully it'll develop. Excuse me. If you wish to listen to it, you can go to or put the following feed in your podcasting software. It's feeds.feedburner.com/Scott Spaulding. That's ScottSpaulding. I also have a comment line and Gmail account for that podcast. So let me know what you think. I'd appreciate it.
Well, I like it, Scott. I like the idea, that is. I haven't been able to subscribe to your podcast yet. I put it into iPodder, and it just sat there, so I'll give that another try. And finally, we got a second comment.
Hi, Larry. My name is Richie C. I just want to say I really enjoy your podcast and all the demonstrations and different things that you've done. Just an idea. Maybe in an upcoming Blind Code Fest, you can do a demo of the new Braille and Speak Scholar, because I understand there's a new model with several improvements, and at least for me, I'd be interested, and I'm sure many other listeners would be interested in the new features. Well, keep up the great work, Larry. I'm really enjoying your podcast.
And we can do that. I'll actually try to get Fred Gazzoni on the show, who is the father of the Braille and Speak and knows it far better than I. That'll do it for show 14. We're at www.aph.org/tech/bct.htm.